Hallelujah. Well, this morning's going to be a little bit different in preaching this morning, because this morning I'm just going to preach. Amen. And it'll be just a little bit different. And God's had me on this course of just focusing on the cross and on what Christ has done for us in getting it. This is the essence of what we believe. We began on Palm Sunday talking about the entrance of the King and challenging us that we have preconceived ideas of what it means when Christ is going to come into my life. Boy, I'll accept the Lord. If I accept the Lord, He's going to do this and this and this and this and this for me. Jesus didn't come to do this and this and this for you. He came to save you and redeem you from the judgment that was upon you. And God already has a plan. Listen to what God says. I know the thoughts and the plan that I have for you. How many had God ask you what He wanted to do for you? He didn't ask for your consult when He devised His plans for you. He said, I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you. Wisdom is when I give up my preconceived idea of what He wants to do in my life, and I seek to understand His thoughts and His plans for my life, and to walk and fulfill those. Amen? Ephesians 2:10 says, we are His workmanship, recreated in Christ, that we might do those things that He prearranged and made ready for us to do. So God has a path and a purpose for us to fulfill. But when I have preconceived expectations of what He will do in my life, when He doesn't meet my expectations, I get discouraged in my Christian walk. And so to let go of our unmet expectations and just move into walking in obedience to God is an amazing thing. And then we talked to you on Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, we talked to you about the walk that changed eternity, that Jesus chose to make that walk to Calvary for you and for me. And then last Sunday, we talked about being anchored to the cross, and we reassured you that your life is not futile, your failures are not fatal, and your life and your death is not final. Amen? And so that's so important to know. But when we come to the cross is the foundation for our relationship with God. Everything we have is because of the cross. If it wasn't for the cross, we could not be forgiven. And God's, I said last week, God's forgiveness for us is not based upon His love for us. It's based upon the cross. The cross satisfied the judgment of heaven. And so this morning, just a little bit different. When we understand that the Apostle Paul only had one message of simplicity and truth, and it was the cross of Christ, or his gospel of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul said, my gospel is that Jesus lived, that He died, that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day. That's our hope. And when we anchor ourselves to that, it changes everything. This has been our foundational scriptures, 1 Corinthians 2. I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And it is what God is driving for me in this day, in this hour, you need to know that Jesus Christ has been crucified for you. And if He's crucified for you and raised up victorious for you, you enter into His victory. Amen, and you live by that. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul wrote, and he said, my brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you. And he says it there again. Jesus Christ lived, He died, and He was buried, and He raised again on the third day and was seen by over 500. Amen? Paul said to the Galatians, others may come with a different gospel, but the gospel of the cross is my gospel. So today I'm not here to appeal to your thought process or to cause you to consider, to ponder, or debate what might or might not be true. Today I'm here to preach and to proclaim the power of the cross. Today I'm not asking you just to follow me in another outline, to read along, to turn in your Bible. You can do that if you want. Today, for the next few minutes, I'm after every heart and life in this room as if this were the last chance you would ever have to hear the gospel again. Whether you're here or whether you're watching online, come on, I love everybody online, but don't let the culture of the day and the media of this day and everything available today move you out of a living, loving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't go for convenience, live by conviction. Think about it. You see, too many foolishly take this too lightly. Too many are waiting for the right time when they are ready, when their life is as they desire it to be. They think there will always be another day to choose life. Yet every day the papers and the news is filled with the obituaries of those who have unexpectedly departed from this life and enter into eternity. Every day, there's a suddenly of unexpectation that nobody expected. I didn't think they would go. Oh, they happened. What did this happen? When did that happen? Suddenly, somebody has a physical ailment or a heart attack or something happens, a natural disaster, a car accident. So many things happen so many times were unexpected, and people thought they had another time. Years ago, it used to be the preacher would give the altar call. If you died today, do you know that you would be in heaven? People say, man, that's kind of rough. You're putting me under pressure. Yes, because if you died today, do you know that you would go to heaven? That's what the cross is all about, and we take it too lightly. I'm asking God today for his anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit to fall upon every life. Though you may have heard the message 1,000 times before, may it ring clear today in our hearts as if we heard it for the very first time. You see, too many Christians in the world today have lost the zeal and the passion for their first love. We need to hear it again, the word of the Lord to the churches in Asia, and preserve what is good, endure temptation, test, and persecution, and address the things he finds against us, and be zealous and repent. Amen. He who overcomes is the one who receives the promise. Maybe you're here today and you've considered the gospel with your mind, but you've never heard it with your heart. I'm asking God to pierce the darkness that has surrounded your life with the very glory of the marvelous light of the gospel of Christ. Listen to it, if you would, that Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4, and this is what he said. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart, but we renounce the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our heart to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Or Paul says there's a darkness that is upon the world, and it takes the light of the gospel and the power of God to shine upon your heart. And I'm praying that God would do that today, maybe in a fresh way, maybe in a new way in every one of our lives. See, we are taking life way too casual, especially in America today and around the world. Did you see the news yesterday? Do you know that Iran has launched an attack against Israel? Do you know what happens in Israel is what determines what happens in the timeline of God? Do you know that at any moment, at any time, this whole thing could break loose, and Christians are just so casual going about their way? We're supposed to be sober, and we're supposed to be vigilant, and we're supposed to be on guard, and we're supposed to be aware of the signs and the times that we are living in. This is not a time of complacency. It is not a time to be easy in your walk with God. Think about it this morning. Today I'm preaching for a decision to be made in every life concerning the cross. It is my prayer that everyone in the sound of my voice, either here in person or online today, would come to know the power of the cross in their life. See, the Bible says that the just shall live by faith. Well, what is your faith anchored to? If your faith is anchored to just a few scriptures that are promises to you, my faith is anchored in a cross that cannot be moved. That is God's promise, nailed into this earth, and it cannot be removed. Could you say amen? Amen. Think about it. May we be so moved and set free by the power of the cross that we would move from this place today changed by the glory of God. And see, we've mistreated the glory of God. People all around want the glory to come in. They want a cloud to come in. The word glory actually means weight. When God comes in, the weight of his presence. It says that when Solomon dedicated the temple, the glory of the Lord filled the temple, and the priests could not stand to minister because of the presence of the Lord. When God sits down upon you, you will know it. The weight of his presence, you will know it. Think about it. It is not just something that we see. The glory of the Lord is more than a cloud and an emotional experience for believers to soak in. Well, I just want to soak in the glory. Come on, we need to grow up and get a past just us wanting to have a feeling with God. You need to know what Jesus Christ came to do. He came to do something so significant in your life that those who heard it and received it at the beginning gave their whole life to live it and to declare it. And they died declaring it. Every one of the apostles was martyred. Amen. They gave their lives. They lived for Christ. Think about that. The cross was the greatest display of His glory. And I declare to you today, that same glory is in this place today. You see, the power of the cross is still the same today. There is saving, healing, delivering, restoring, and renewing power in the cross. If we understood the cross, we wouldn't live such defeated lives as believers. We would believe in the power of the cross. Paul said it like this, I want to know Him and in the power of His resurrection. He said to the Romans, if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, then He will quicken and make alive your mortal body. That same Spirit and that same power is what we receive when we are born again. But yet we listen to so many other things and we don't spend enough time listening to God and listening to the Holy Spirit and being people of His voice. We need to get back to being people of the voice of God, hungry for the voice of God, and then being obedient to the voice of God. Hallelujah. Isaiah 53 boldly declared that every wound, every bruise, and every stripe He bore was so that He might vicariously take upon Himself. What does that mean? It means something done or endured by somebody as a substitute for somebody else. What Jesus did on the cross was vicarious suffering. Everything He endured was should have been endured by you and I. But He endured it so we would not have to. What does that mean? It means every pain, every failure, every rejection, every abuse, every abandonment, every injustice, every prejudice, every handicap, every insecurity, every addiction, every abortion, every disease, and every lie was nailed to His cross. What does that mean? It means along with every other act of sin and immorality committed by and upon humanity was nailed to His cross. What else does that mean? It means there's nothing you can name, blame, or claim as an excuse for the failure and pain in your life that was not nailed to His cross. You are not a victim of your life. You have been redeemed by the power of the cross. You do not need to live with a victim mentality. I don't care what somebody did to you. I don't care what they said about you. I don't care what it was. If you'll bring it to Jesus and let it be nailed to His cross, you will be set free. But if you want to carry that as an excuse and make that something greater that the cross couldn't cover, then you'll live your life in bondage to what other people have done. But Jesus came to set captives free. Yeah. It doesn't matter if it was. Think about it. Unfortunately, almost all of our pain is connected directly or indirectly to a person. So if a person can bring pain into our life, then a person can bring healing to our life. It doesn't matter if it was a parent, a friend, a relative, a boss, a coworker, a teacher, a preacher, a perfect stranger, or just life. It was nailed to His cross. It was nailed to the cross. Well, you don't understand what they did to me. Well, just nail it to the cross. You don't understand what had happened. You don't understand. I don't need to understand. You need to understand there was someone who took that pain for you. He carried that for you, and He had it nailed to the cross so you could be free. Amen. What is the pain in your life that has blinded your eyes to the love of the cross? The cross is God's love sign to the world. It is the declaration of death to death. See, those things produce death in us. They keep us from living full. And Jesus died so you could have life and have it more abundantly. In John chapter 3, Jesus said of Himself, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. And it's referring to Numbers chapter 21, where Moses lifted up the serpent. So here's the question. What do you need nailed to the cross today? What is your hindrance? What is what has a hold of you? What is your excuse? What is that thing that cripples you? What is that thing that causes you that you're dragging along like a ball in a chain in your life from your path? What has the enemy used against you to blind the eyes of your heart to the love of God? The cross is God's healing balm for the heart of humanity. Just as Jesus had to make the walk for us, we will have to make the walk to the cross for yourself to nail your past, your pain, your failure, and your rejection to the cross and let Him bring His life to bear upon you. Think about it this morning. I want you to never forget the four breakthroughs of the cross. These belong to every person who receives Christ and accepts His redemptive work for them that He did on Calvary. This is the promised land of our Christian faith. When we accept Christ, we become heirs of heaven. Romans 8, I'm going to read it to you. Romans 8 says this. Excuse me. He says, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, we may also be glorified together. Amen. You are an heir of God. And as an heir of God, you are now a recipient of every breakthrough that Jesus purchased for you upon that cross. You need to hear it this morning. We are to live, all those things belong to every person who receives Christ and accepts His redemptive work for them at Calvary. This is the promised land of our Christian faith. When we accept Christ, we become heirs of heaven. Amen. And we are to live to possess our inheritance. See, we live in a society that expects everything to be given to us. Amen. We live in a government that promises to do everything for us. And it conditions us to think that that's the way God works. God does not work like government. Amen. He's already made complete provision for you and me. He's made everything you need is in Him. The key is getting yourself in Him. To live in Him, I have to get out of myself. I got to get out of my excuses. I got to get out of my justification. I got to get out of my rationalization. Amen. I just got to die and be raised up in newness of life. See, we are buried with Him. We identify with His death. And then we are raised in newness of life. Do you know when Jesus was raised from the dead, He was raised into a life that had never been before? He was raised up in newness of life. He is now raised in that glory of God. And that's when we enter into Him. We are walking into and entering into the life that He was risen to for us. And we enter into new life. It is newness of life. It is a brand new life. But if I want to live in my old, I can't live in the old and live in the new. I have to choose one or the other. Think about it. Because He died, we can have eternal life. Because He suffered, we can have physical healing. Because He was wounded, we can be made whole. When we look to the cross and what happened there, we can see that what He purchased for us on Calvary as heirs of heaven. Today I want you to remember the four main areas that He purchased for us. He purchased healing for our bodies. Healing is your right. Amen. You should believe. So I remember old Brother Reddick used to preach, a friend of my pastor, he would preach. He said the problem with most Christians is that we believe for healing instead of believing for health. I believe I live in health. Amen. Most people believe for sickness more than they believe for health. You listen to, well, you know what? Oh, better be careful. It is flu season. I think I'll pass that season by. Thank you very much. Oh, no, it's allergy season. I think I'll pass that season by. Thank you very much. Oh, no, it's cold season. Oh, no, I think I'll pass that season by. Thank you very much. Or then you listen to all the reports. This causes this. This causes that. Oh, I think I have that symptom. Well, you're just stupid. because you're agreeing with death when Jesus died for you to have life. You have a Savior who bore your sickness. Go with me to Matthew 18. I didn't tell you to follow me, but you can this morning. I'm not going to wait for you to get there because you turn too slow. And you probably have an old phone that doesn't go fast enough. Matthew 8 and verse 16. Matthew, I said 18, go to Matthew 8. Matthew 8, verse 16. And when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, say, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sickness. How do I know you're not living by the power of the cross when I hear you say, my this, my that, my this, my that. My arthritis, my diabetes, my high blood pressure, my this, my that. You're supposed to be declaring, I am the healed of the Lord. And you say it and you declare it. I don't care what the symptoms are. If there wasn't a symptom, you wouldn't need a miracle. But because there is a symptom, God gave you a miracle through the power of the cross. He said, Pastor, why are you so angry this morning? Because I hate the devil and I hate what he does to people. And Jesus hated him so much that he fought him all the way to Calvary and stepped on his head and broke his power over your life. And he doesn't want you submitting to a power that he crushed and defeated. The power of the cross is connected to the four main places that Jesus shed his blood for us. This was no cheap, simple act of compassion. Jesus did not go to the cross out of compassion for you. He went to the cross because it was the only way to redeem humanity. Father, if it be your will, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. As I read with you last week from Max Lucado, and the father grieving with the son, oh son, I know, and I know what it's going to be like, and I know what you're grieving over, and you know there's coming a moment when I will completely turn my back on you, and you will not hear my voice or sense my presence for the first time in all of eternity. And I know that way, but there is no other way. There is no other way. And he redeemed you the only way he could. And when I take too lightly the cross, when we replace it with everything, yeah, come on, over the years I've struggled. I'm sorry, I'm not a program pastor. We've never been a program church. God just put it in my heart to preach the gospel. And if you come to this church, I can't promise you we'll have every program that you think the church to have. But honey, that's just peripheral. None of that gives power. None of that will give you breakthrough. But when you know Jesus Christ and you know God and his word, and you live by the power of the cross, you won't live a defeated life. You'll be the overcomer that he died for you to be. Because every life faces storms. Every life faces challenges. So how do you face those? Do you give in? Do you say the same words that the world said? Do you have the same conversation and the same confession that the world has? Or can you say, I don't care what's happening. I know that my God is faithful, and I know that this too will pass. Like David, I faced a lion and I faced a bear, and now I'm going to kill me a giant. Yeah. Or are you like Jonathan? The enemy comes out against you and you're just a little bit crazy. And so you get your best buddy, your armor bearer, and you say, hey, I just know this on the inside, that God's not restrained to save by many or by few. So let's go find out what God will do through our life. He says, I think you and I could whip all 60 or 80 of those guys down there. And the armor bearer goes, you think that, huh? And he goes, yeah, this is how we will know. We're going to shout down to him, hey, how y'all doing down there? And if they say, fine, come on down. We'll know that God's given them into our hands. But if they say, wait there, we're coming up to you, we'll know God hasn't. Guy goes, that's it, huh? That's your plan? They invite us down. Amen. He goes, yeah, that's it. And they said, come on down. And Jonathan said, let's go. And they went down and defeated that whole camp. But what do? We look at something bigger than what we think we have the potential to do. And Jonathan, remember, he says, God's not restrained to save by many or by few. All he needs is somebody who believes in who he is and who live in the victory that he's declared is ours through the covenant that he's made with us through his son. Think about these four places that Jesus bled from. This is no cheap, simple act of compassion. This was redemptive love in all of its fullness. Think about the whip. Isaiah 53 and 1 Peter 2:24 says that by his stripes we were healed, which is a breakthrough for our bodies. When you look at the cross and you think about Jesus being beat with that whip, by every stripe that he bore, that purchase. Well, I just wish I knew the Lord would heal me. You need to get over here in the slap line this morning, and we'll just slap that stupid right off you, because by every stripe, he said you were healed. And that's where you have, I believe in the power of the cross. I'm going to speak and confess the cross. Quit talking about sickness and disease anymore. Quit wanting to know what everybody's doing. So many people, well, what about that? I'm thankful for our prayer chain. But if all you're doing is talking about it and you're not declaring it, I have people tell, oh, excuse me, I have a cold. I'm not believing to catch what you have. Are you doing all right? You say, Pastor, you're awful aggressive. No, I'm not aggressive. Cancer is aggressive. I'm not aggressive. Heart disease and failure is aggressive. I'm not aggressive. Suddenly, and death is aggressive. Hallelujah. Amen. And what about the crown? The crown of thorns that he bore declares a breakthrough for and in our minds. People say they can't control their thought life, their emotions, everything running around their head. You need to look at that crown of thorns right up here. This thing is so amazing. This is from Jerusalem. This is the actual plant that they made and fashioned the crown of thorns upon Jesus' head. And they took this thing and shoved it down upon his head. And then they beat it in with rods, so that pierced in and blood flowed from his head. Blood flowed from the head of a Savior, so you would have not, you wouldn't have a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a power and a sound mind. Because this was placed upon his head, you can have a sound mind. And if you can't have your thought, then you need to take your thoughts and nail them to the cross. Amen? Think about the nails. The nails declares a breakthrough for our conscience. The nails in his hand, because our hands refer to the things that we do, and we get convicted and carry guilt by the things that we've touched, we've done, and participated in, our activities. But God cleanses our conscience. Come on, wherever you've been in your path, he'll cleanse every act, every deed that you have done in your life. Think about the spear. The spear caused water to cause blood to flow from his heart and brings a breakthrough for our heart and our spirit. Think about it. His heart broke that ours might be healed. Inside his broken heart is a world of freedom, healing, and reconciliation. It is ours as a joint heir for Christ. No longer do you need to carry the weight and burden of rejection, abandonment, brokenness, and pain. He has come to heal your orphan's heart. You know what causes an orphan's heart? An orphan is a child who was abandoned, who wasn't wanted, who was left uncared for and given into the care of somebody else. Come on, Jesus came to redeem you from an orphan's heart. You don't need to carry that abandonment all your life. I shared it a while back about my father and dealing with that and having to deal with abandonment. Come on, Jesus is the great healer of abandonment in your life. He restores you. Our men went through it. We had our friend Dave Novak came and he talked on father issues. And so many times, I'm sorry if your father wasn't there. I'm sorry if your mother wasn't there. I'm sorry if this person wasn't there. I'm sorry for anybody that ever hurt you, rejected you, or abandoned you. But let me tell you, God has never rejected you. God will never hurt you, and he will never abandon you. He will heal your heart. And Jesus bled from his heart for you to be healed and to be made whole. Quit reliving your past and your aches and your pain. Bring them to the cross. Nail them there and leave them there and rise up in newness of life, victorious in Christ. His death on that hill was the most pivotal point in all of history. It marked the point where all of humanity could receive forgiveness of sins and total healing of body, mind, and spirit. Jesus died for you to be completely healed. I have come that you might have life and have life more abundantly. And life that doesn't carry, an abundant life doesn't carry the weight and the pains of your past. It's a life that is free and redeemed completely. Think about it. As awful as it seemed at the time, it was the most important act of all time. The Son of God defeated death, destruction, and the devil, opening the gates of heaven for all of eternity. The worship team will come back. As a child of God, you have a wonderful and divine inheritance in Christ. You see, to me it's sad that we think about the cross and the resurrection mainly one day out of the year. And we've given Resurrection Day a new name called Easter. I said on Easter, I'm having a hard time just saying Easter. Because it's not in the Bible. But yet that's what we call the day that our Lord raised from the dead. But the day that he rose from the dead. And now think about all the stupid stuff we've added to it. Think about all the stuff we think we have to do on Resurrection Day to have a church service. And all the little things, and I'm not against any of that. I'm preaching, I'm not on issues, but I'm just telling you, when we diminish the glory of the cross in the fullness of what it meant, there was nothing humorous, there was nothing fun about it. It was the most tragic day for all of humanity. The day God allowed his son to be nailed to that cross as the one who would carry every judgment that was against your life and all of humanity. It was a tragic day and the most glorious day. And when I understand it, then when I read when Paul says, the just shall live by faith. Then when it comes to any challenge to my faith, what is my faith anchored in? My faith is anchored right there. I know what he did for me. And devil, all you have is a lie. And your power has been broken. And the cross is the truth. And it overpowers every lie of the enemy. Could you say amen? So think about it. As a child of God, you have a wonderful and divine inheritance. Your inheritance is physical healing and health. Come on, believe to be healed. Believe to be whole. Believe to be strong. People ask me, how you doing? I say, I'm in my prime. Amen. Then I saw an article the other day. They said the new survey, you know what the new survey said? There's a new survey out. 70 to 80 are when people are being the most productive. I said, glory to God. I've been saying it all along. I'm in my prime. I'm in my prime. What are you in?
Oh, you know, I
listen to kids. I listen to all y'all on my back. I said, man, you're going to be a mess from my age. We have to carry you around a wheelbarrow. Amen. You moaning and groaning about aches and pains. Hello? Say, Pastor, you're getting awful personal. It's supposed to be personal. The gospel is very personal. God's always up in your grill. Amen. God's always trying to get into where you are to get you out of where you are and into where He is. Do you understand that? Well, you know, just come on, don't talk to me. Okay, then stay there in that defeat. Stay there, carry that thing. You could just come to the cross and nail it there and let the one who died for you and carried it for you take it upon Himself. See, all those that were sick that we read in Matthew 18, they came to Him and they brought their sickness to Him. They brought their disease to Him. They brought their demonic possession to Him. And what did He do? He took it from them upon Himself. When you decide to quit carrying that thing and you choose to come to the one who carried it for you and you give it to Him, honey, I tell you, breakthrough's on the way. Physical healing, emotional health, a clear conscience. Quit judging yourself. Quit condemning yourself. Amen. You gives you a mended heart, all because He died. We can have eternal life. Because He suffered, we can have physical healing. Because He was wounded, we can be made whole. There it is. The just shall live by faith. And my faith is in the finished work of the cross. You see, to Him, you were worth dying for. When God looked at humanity, and when Jesus prayed in the garden, He said, Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. And He said, Son, to me, they're worth you dying for them. They're worth you dying for. So many people today don't feel value in their lives. You hear me say it. If I tell you my testimony, you know, with my parents growing up and brokenness things in my life and going through that and not having relationships that I wanted and then going through a broken relationship myself and then getting saved and giving your life to God and then pursuing God, trying to answer the call. And then when you try to apply to get credentials with an organization, they say, oh, because of your failure in your past, we can't use you. And so there you have another rejection. But you know what? I learned through all of that in my life. I learned, you know what? Up your nose with the rubber hose. I'm not gonna allow you to set your value and your estimation of me upon my life. I'm not gonna live under your judgment. I know a God who loved me. I know when I knelt down, He heard me. I know that He saved me. I know that He's forgiven me. And I'm not gonna live by your value on my life. The devil is the master of the rerun, the master of the reminder. He says, let me rerun your failures before you. Let me rerun your mistakes in front of you. Let me just remind you. When he does that, you just go, let me just remind you. Let me remind you that I nailed that old man to the cross. And that guy's dead. So if you want to talk to him, you got to go to a grave to talk to that guy, because he's dead and I'm no longer in the grave. I've been raised in Christ and I'm in newness of life. To him, we were worth dying for. To me, he is worth living for. He's worth living for. He's worth living for. He's worth giving your whole life to. Not just a few dollars in your offering. He's worth giving your whole life to. My money. The whole reason God gave giving to us is so that it would teach us to put Him first and to say, God, I will never let anything have more power over my life than You. I honor You. You're worth living for with every area of my life. He didn't just believe in me. He lived and died for me. And He didn't just believe in you. He lived for you. And then He died for you. So I choose to do the same. And I'm praying you would do that today too. I don't care how long you've come to this church. I don't care how many times you've heard me preach or heard others preach. I don't care how long. But have you nailed it to the cross? Is there anything you're carrying, anything you're holding on to that should be nailed to that cross and released to Him? I choose to give my life for His glory. I choose to live a crucified life. So I will always stand, I will always rise, and I will always give my life for Him. Would you stand with me this morning? There are some of you here today, and you've carried the rejection of your past, you've carried the hurts, the wounds of your past, and they seem to recycle in your life. But there's a breakthrough for you today if you'll take a walk to the cross and nail them there and leave them there.